I am unashamed. What about you?
Welcome back to Unashamed. And Zach was just here. Zach, you were in studio just 2 days ago. Now you're back in North Carolina. And of course, you and your boy, a couple of your boys stayed with us. It's always interesting to have a dasher, what you'd call it.
Protege?
Yeah, staying at your house because they always leave stuff. You know, it's like they always leave something behind.
And I don't. And they do.
Yeah, they do. It's usually your children. But sometimes you have to.
No, I'm sure they learned it from
you. I'm sure the apple didn't fall far from the tree.
But that tree, you're indicting here is not me. It's the other part of the tree. It's my wife.
I don't know which son it was. One of them left a backpack.
It was Max.
So they'd been on the road. They were heading to Dallas from us because Zach's got some high-level meetings, I'm sure. So Lisa comes out of the bedroom. She's back there, you know, getting everything back. And women like to get everything back in order. Have you noticed that? Like,
yeah,
people come in. They're not too stressed in the moment, but then once it's over, they got to get everything back in order. She comes out carrying a backpack, and she said, "This is one of Zach's son's backpacks." So I took a picture of it, sent it to Zach, because I wasn't sure how critical. I didn't know what was in it. I don't go through other people's bags.
Yeah.
And so Zach's like, "Oh, he'll pick it up when he comes back through." So you were like, "No big deal." And it's still there at the house.
We were past Rushton, so it would have been a 30-minute
I didn't figure.
Drive
I would have
back.
Never come like, back for one of my kids, whatever. Nah. I'd have been like, you suck it up.
They're like, "Can they mail it?" I'm like, "I don't know." I mean, but I'm not turning around. So, yeah. I mean, Max and Layla were going to Dallas to record an out. They're actually, they got a little band they started called Dasher the Band. So they're going to be recording. They're finishing up their album that they're releasing next month. But so I was dropping him off, and then I was going to have a couple meetings.
That was like
meetings.
Breaking news, that. Well, you just talked over that. I mean,
well, yeah,
your kids are making an album.
Yeah.
That's a big
deal. They are making an album, not official.
Well, we all know they're talented because now the whole world's heard them on American Idol. So your kids are very talented.
They and it sounds great. I mean, I've listened to some of the – I guess it's a process.
Is that like what you are? You like the Daddy Smallbone now? Are you the promoter of the?
I thought once I watched that movie, I kind of felt convicted. I was like, I could be that guy. Yeah, I was like, I'm not as talented in the music. I don't know a whole lot about the music world though, so it's not. I don't have the contacts. That's not. So they're kind of running with that. I'm giving them advice, just basic business advice. But I wound up in Dallas working on our stuff. And it was so funny. I was talking to this guy for breakfast, and he was telling me, "I've been watching Unashamed." He said, "Man, you guys are deceptively smart when it comes to the Bible." And I was like,
deceptively?
That's one of the best qualifiers I've ever heard.
I'm like, what is that?
Smart.
You're like,
deceptively
that
smart.
Are you telling?
Is He's that like, a compliment?
It's kind of a backhanded compliment.
And if he's probably listening to this podcast, you know who you are, and you know what you said.
Well, whoever you are, you have coined a new phrase that I will use in the future. You know, you look at old Jay's; he's deceptively smart. That's you're not really sure.
He said we weave in sarcasm. His phrase is: "You guys have a brilliant way of weaving in sarcasm, and the way that Jace goes after you for your big words." Which he did have a caveat, which I actually appreciate Zach. He did say that. I just want to say, but he said it is, it's disarming, and you take, the Bible and you put it into the language of everyday man. So there was a nod to Jace, right? Yep. So it was, but he says the way y'all work through it.
But he also secretly patted you on the back because he likes the big words.
There was no compliment there. I got that idea from a little something called the New Testament.
There's the sarcasm that he mentioned right there. Let me just call that out.
When you were ripping me on the last podcast, Jace, let me just tell you what I wrote down here.
Uh-oh. Zach's taking notes.
Hey, Maddie, do you got some boxing gloves?
No, this is all in love.
I feel a rebuke coming out.
I just wrote down 1 John 2:2, which says he is the propitiation.
Oh, boy.
That's a big word. And it's in the Bible. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not just ours, but also for the sins of the world. So the Bible does have some big words in it that we have to work through. Propitiation is one of those words. So I did think about...
What was that 1 John? What?
1 John 2:2.
So
the point NIV is, says if you're going to atoning sacrifice, so it broke it down for us.
The NIV says atoning. So if you're going to use the word, I'm not even sure I can say it.
Propitiation.
All I'm asking for is a little bumper sticker definition because you still haven't given it.
Well,
we need to know it. But to
our friend's point, this is where the problem is right here. You don't give me a chance to get. I never get a chance because the cricket comes out. Like I'm gonna define the term, but I'm interrupted by a cricket noise. So. See, but it's all fun that, right?
And thanks to the 11-year-old young man that sent us the crickets.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was a compliment. I took the whole thing as a compliment, though. I really did.
Well, I hear that a lot from other people. They enjoy our humor. They enjoy that we don't take ourselves too seriously. And they enjoy the fact that we lead with most things by saying to Dad's book title here in front of him, I could be wrong. Even without the but I doubt it, I could be wrong. And so that's how we start out. The idea is we're not acting like we know it all, but we love to study the Bible and see
it's the nature of the podcast. I mean, that's another thing that this gentleman said. He said it feels like I'm at a home Bible study. And I said that's intentional.
Yeah.
It's why we don't heavily edit this. I mean, I'm sure over the course of however many episodes we've done, if somebody wanted to go in and say, we're going to find all the theological errors. There's probably a lot in there because this is happening in real time. I mean, we're studying, but we're having discussion here. And so, yeah, we could be wrong, but I think that's the nature of it. I hope we can keep that spirit about it because I think it is impactful just to work through it together. I mean, I'll tell you, I've changed a lot just by being forced into the word. You know, I mean, my view of the kingdom has changed a lot over the last 800 episodes. I'll tell you that.
No, I agree.
The meaning of propitiation is the act or gaining or regaining the favor of or goodwill of someone.
What did your NIV say?
Atoning, sacrifice,
making clean.
But atonement is another word we don't use much in the modern, vernacular. So
regaining the goodwill.
Atonement.
Yeah. Well, regaining the goodwill of God.
Right.
I mean, I'll give you an example. I spent an hour last night. Where is this at? I'm skipping ahead. I'm pulling a Phil.
Oh boy.
But in Paul's first recorded sermon, he makes a statement to echo this propitiation. Now, I wasn't prepared to do this. So when he gets down to verse 38, I think, 13:38.
Where are you at?
Acts 13.
Acts 13:38. And Paul's...
He's jumping to the next
one. Well, I'm jumping just for to explain this because I really found this fascinating and I would like to know. But it's so detail-oriented, I'd rather do it like in this setting. But he says, therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Now, you just got through talking about the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And then he says, through him, everyone who believes is justified. Now, the current NIV says from every sin, and I was gonna throw the NIV translation under the bus. I didn't realize in my research that my 1984 NIV actually has it right here. It says, through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything. You could not be justified from the law of Moses.
Right.
I was gonna make a point because when I read it from the NIV on the internet, it said from every sin.
Yeah, the 2012 missed the bigger.
And so when I looked at that phrase, I thought, I don't think I've ever recalled that being in the Bible. So when I looked up the Greek lexicon, which I explained a few podcasts how to do, in the second verse there, sin's not in there.
Yeah.
It says, but it's in the context of verse 38, which is how they translate the Bible. So, because he said in 38, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. That's what it says. Jesus proclaimed, he is forgiving you of your sins. And then through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything. And it actually says he frees you from everything. the word freedom is in there somewhere in the Greek, that you could not be justified from by the law of Moses, which is what, so you asked me to preach this Sunday.
Yep.
Which at first I thought, well, man, that's really nice. And then I found out because Larry Bowles was supposed to preach.
Well, you were going to preach the next Sunday. So it wasn't like you weren't, you were in the lineup, but you got moved up.
You got moved up
to the starting pitcher role because our starting pitcher went down. And Larry, I know you listen to the podcast, so we're sorry about, he's re-injured his knee. And so he had to have another surgery on it. And so he missed, he was going to kick us off in Hebrews. I don't know of a better guy that sets the parameters than Larry. So you're now stepping into the starting role. You will, the whole study of the Hebrews will go or not go depending on what you do Sunday, but there's no pressure.
So this is like the equivalent of when the baseball strike happened and they had the replacement player.
Yeah, you're a scab.
Yeah, and nobody came and watched. So I'll have to rely on my deceptively smart quality.
Deceptively smart.
So you've wrapped around this sermon. I got moved up the batting order on a different subject. And then we've done a record. This has been a record podcast week for me.
We've had a lot, yeah.
So this is my seventh podcast in 1 week.
Yeah.
So yeah, because you jumped into the other.
Jumped into the
I was called by a higher power to interpret. Look, here was my role on the Duck Call Room podcast. I was asked, and I quote, can you come on the podcast and interpret Psy to
the small bones?
For King and Country, mm-hmm. the small bones.
Yeah.
I was like, what does that mean? Can we not use subtitles? And she's, the producer's like, well, yeah, but most people listen. So we need Psy to talk, them to talk, but you interpret what Psy is saying so they won't just be lost.
Yeah.
You were a mediator.
You were a mediator.
I was a mediator. So it was a really weird experience. Zach, you were there.
Yeah, it was deceptively awkward.
it was.
No, it was. I thought it was. I actually thought it was really good. I thought I was shocked at how everybody got along, and it was almost like, you know, I'm trying to wrangle the day along, but I felt like at each moment it was like I could not get the parties to separate and to move to the next. I mean, it was a great energy, you know, but I think that if you didn't listen to those podcasts, go back and listen and also check out Jace's debut. Cause you don't go in the Duck Call Room very often. How many, you've only been on a few times,
maybe
right?
3 times. Well, yeah. There's a reason for that. Cause I thought they were doing a Bible study kind of like us. But so the first one, when I came, no one told me what we were going to talk about. And I found out later it's because no one knew what we were going to talk about. And it was one of the most nonsensical things. I felt like, I don't know what that was.
So what you're saying is their podcast is just a cold open every time for the whole podcast.
It's a cold open for 47 minutes. And then in the 48th minute, which is how long it was, Si said, Jace, give us a Bible verse and give us some credibility. That was, so I told story. Now, it was funny and it was entertaining.
You guys know that our family has been very engaged in the pro-life battle that's going on in our culture. We are joined by one of our great sponsors, Preborn. They have a network of clinics that has saved over 58,000 babies, and a lot of you guys have contributed to help make that possible, and we appreciate you for doing that. It's always about stories and testimonies. One young mother found herself in an unplanned pregnancy, and she was strongly influenced to end her pregnancy at a Planned Parenthood clinic. Even as they administered the abortion pill, she felt cold and anxious. She fled home and started searching for how to reverse the curse, which led her to a Preborn network clinic. The nurse immediately administered progesterone and calmed her greatest fear, and her baby was saved. And this is happening all across the country, and we praise God for that. Each baby is a true miracle, and every day Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. That's 200 babies that get saved every day by these guys. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child.
When a mother hears her baby's heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and we know it makes a difference. So let's join together, help these mothers choose life. To donate, you dial #250 on your phone and say the keyword baby. That's #250, keyword baby. Or you can go to preborn.com/unashamed. That's preborn.com/unashamed.
So I gave him a theme verse for his podcast. Have you heard?
No. What was the theme verse?
Well, you were there. You weren't listening.
No.
Which I didn't see anybody.
You did this at the last, the one you were on, the one you were just on? Okay,
I said, I just now figured out what should be your theme verse for the podcast. And so I was like, he said, lay it on me. And so I read a little verse in 2 Corinthians 5:13, the A part. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God.
Out of our mind. That could have been the title of it.
Yeah, because Si, he's out there.
So tell me about your sermon prep. So I'm curious because we're recording on a Friday today.
You got to make sure he's setting up the book of Hebrews like you want.
Well, I don't know. I'm up after him. The reason I scheduled myself after Jay is because I figured I would do a cleanup on aisle 7 if needed.
Yeah.
So
here's what's funny about this. If y'all want to see how the sausage is made here. So Al gives me a title, which is Jesus is better, because the word better is mentioned, or superior.
Or greater. I think that's what.
Well, and you know what? What hit me in that, I haven't prepped yet. I've just thought. I meditated because I hadn't had time to prep. So it's Friday. I'm preaching Sunday. There's no prep yet. So I'm going to work that in the next 48 hours. You get what you asked for.
In the preaching world, Jace, they call this a Saturday night special.
It is biblical. Always be prepared to give an answer.
Just a thought that nobody's mentioned.
I'll finish my point after Phil.
You finish your point. When the people, after this thing in prison, Peter and them escape and get out of there, they live over it. And these people begin to gather around Herod and say what a great man he was. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, here he comes in all his splendor, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. Now, this is just after Peter and them have escaped. They shouted, "This is the voice of a god, not a man." So the audience said, "That dude, that's coming straight from God." Immediately upon the people coming to that conclusion, because Herod did not give praise to God. You say, what happens when a human being takes up the slack and says, that's my doing, not God's? What happens is, which is to me has always been surprising, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down. I don't know where he came from. Out of the other realm. And he was eaten by worms and died.
Yeah, inside out.
I'm like, I've never heard of a man reaching so much fame and going to bring trouble. And all of a sudden, he is rotting on the ground full of maggots.
That's right.
Well, thanks for the motivation, Phil, about my
All I'm saying is, don't mess with these angels that are coming out of God.
No pressure now.
I heard that I wasn't prepared, and he said, "Well, what's the worst thing that could happen? An angel could come out from heaven, strike you down, worms,
maggots,
and you will die."
I was thinking more about the health of our sermon series.
That got my attention because I'm thinking, don't mess with God when he's going to get some praise.
I was hoping our Hebrews series wouldn't crash and burn. Dad is hoping you don't get worms.
Yeah, the stakes have been risen.
I mean, you just think about it. What a way to be a picture of a person who is alive 1 minute, and within the next few minutes, maggots are just eating it.
On the inside out.
I feel like we just had a halftime speech.
I mean, I know God wouldn't want to scare us, but he got his attention to me. I guarantee you that.
But, Dad, to your point earlier in the last podcast, it's the little things. You talked about the little things.
Yeah.
When we when we're doing something great and people say, "Oh, you're a god." Whoa, 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 whoa. No, I'm not. No,
I'm telling
you. It's important to say, let people know I'm not a god.
But what I was concluding.
I mean, think about it. That's tough to read.
I felt like I was crossing the street and I just got clipped. My feet went up in the air. There's no pressure, Jace. You know my number one fear is public speaking fail, so that didn't go into the narrative.
Don't mess this up, or you may be in the worm category.
I'm going to give glory to God right off the bat.
And I'm just sticking with the story. And
no, you're right, Dad. Don't pretend.
What I was going to say though is
play like you're God.
Exactly.
Which seems like a very small point now after hearing Phil's point, but I was going to say, you know, I know why you gave me that title. Because of all the references, it's a better covenant that's in there.
Yep.
It says, some of the other?
Better than Moses.
Better promises, better than angels. But I got to thinking about
it. Better than priesthood.
Better than what?
A priesthood.
Better, yeah, better priesthood. I got a better city.
Yep.
So I got to thinking about that, though. I think the English language is having trouble translating that word. Because when I thought about that, I thought, well, Jesus is better, Jesus is better, Jesus is better. That's the whole outline. But wouldn't that mean that he's the best?
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
Far above anything that ever
now if you go you can avoid the worms, Jace. I like the path.
This is where I'm going because I thought – this English word is, I think it's the first time in my Bible study, because I sat down, all I've done in my prep is I read the whole book of Hebrews. Mm. I did that a couple nights ago.
Yep.
And I thought, wow, I don't think this word better is strong enough. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking for all the synonyms, superior, greater. I was like, we don't have a word.
No.
On how much better.
Chuck.
This is. That was my first thought. My other thought that I'm going to launch off from is how can you believe in God, the same God, which I concluded that most of the Bible is written to people within the context and culture of people, addressing people who believed in the God that we believe in.
Yeah.
How can you believe in God and miss Jesus? It's quite a thought.
Yeah.
It is.
And you said, does that happen today? Whistling means probably.
Yeah.
But it all these little instances in the Bible started popping into my head about what, you know, when Mary went and visited the tomb and the angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? You know, she believed in Jesus. But in that moment, it was hard for her to wrap her head around that he was alive.
It's happened, yeah.
And I thought, you know, I think some people follow a dead Jesus. They think he was a good example, a good teacher. Because even on the other side of non-believers, people don't hate too much on Jesus, if they're being honest.
When your faith is questioned, you might take a real close look at that.
Yeah.
If that's the charge, you say,
Well, that's exactly why that.
Stay in your lane there. I mean,
that's exactly why when people have been asking me what they need to pray for me and Lisa through our current struggle with what she's going through and we're going through, I always say, please pray that we're faithful. That way we're ready for whatever happens. And so I think that's kind of what you see in this situation in Acts 12. There was faithful prayer and the idea of, but they were expecting him to be killed.
Yeah.
The expectation was, help us get through losing another one of our leaders. What they got was, and they were surprised by it, and actually so was Peter, is they got a release. He got a moment where he said, God said, I'm not quite done with you yet.
A lot of these leaders in these lessons are kind of praised. They praise themselves. But when they get right down to it, they need to get on their knees and say,
that's right.
Well, it made me think, whatever is God in your life, even if it's the same God without Jesus, I was thinking of the comparisons, and I thought it would be like residue on your finger compared to the ocean. It would be like a grain of sand compared to the beach.
Yeah.
And that's why I read that Acts 13 where it said, and that was my whole point 10 minutes ago, is when he said in 38, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, which is what we mainly focus on.
Yeah.
Or as Zach brought up, the propitiation. We focus on that.
That word would apply into that text because that's what it means.
But then he makes that next statement, which I didn't even know was in the Bible, embarrassingly. But he says, through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything that the law of Moses could not justify.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that. You say, what?
Well, what he does.
The whole system in the light of Hebrews.
Right.
Because that it goes through the whole system, the whole law, the angels brought the commandments. Yeah. You have all these great fantastical stories, all these heroes. It's great. You have all these social matters that how you get along with people. And he's saying, you're not thinking big enough.
Yeah.
It's way bigger. It's way better. He's going to justify you from everything. Yep. He's going to make it right.
So, Jace, we know that fruits and vegetables are important in your diet. And you can't really possibly eat all you need. You'd be eating a lot of fruits and vegetables to get exactly what your body needs. So our good friends at Balance of Nature have come up with a supplement that's going to help you get the fruits and vegetables in your diet. And so we've been taking these. Have you noticed any difference yet, or are you still?
Well, yeah. I mean, you reach a certain age where just having any kind of balance walking around is an issue.
Yep.
And it applies to all things in life. So you tend to appreciate it the older you get that it makes sense to have a balanced diet.
Yeah. And, you know, mom's been recovering from some of her injuries. And trust me, balance is important as you go forward.
Yeah.
The average person doesn't eat half of the recommended servings in a day. So it's a pretty good gap in your nutrition. And so as Jace was mentioning, that's why we want this balance. Also, one of the other things we love about these guys, they hadn't raised their prices in 10 years, which is amazing in this age of inflation that they've been able to keep the same price, which is helpful. They have 31 fruits and vegetables and that come in an easy-to-swallow capsule to give you what you need every day. So when you go to balanceofnature.com, you're going to get 35% off plus $10 off any additional sets with your first order as a preferred customer by using our discount code, which is Phil. That's limited to 5 sets. But you'll save a ton of money while getting the fruits and vegetables you need in your diet. So it's a great way. They're even keeping their prices the same. They're going to offer you even more savings. Go to balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code Phil. 35% off. That's balanceofnature.com.
He's freeing you from everything that you thought could bring you anything.
Well, and also, it's not only the theme of Hebrews, Zach, I would argue it's the theme of Romans. I mean,
yeah,
that's exactly what Paul's entire point is in Romans. You cannot be justified by anything other than Christ. You cannot earn it. It's not there. We're all bad. You know, we all need it.
Which is why, yeah, because Romans starts out with essentially Paul saying, I'm going to interpret the Old Testament for you. I'm going to go back to the scriptures and I'm going to interpret this because this is what the prophets talked about in the scriptures and the Holy Scriptures. And he's making it known, kind of the same language in Ephesians as well. And then here, I mean, he starts off Hebrews with long ago at many times and in many ways. What does that mean? What are you talking about long ago? Like when the Old Testament was written, because God spoke to our fathers by prophets. So they all wrote those prophecies down. You know, Isaiah was one of those prophets. And so he recorded all of what God had said to him. Ezekiel, another prophet. Micah, you know, you just go through all of the prophets of the Old Testament. It's all there. And so he's saying in the past, that's how God spoke to us. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his son. And so he's about to show them that it's in Christ that all of it was fulfilled.
Yeah, and the point of the whole thing is that Acts 12:24, about the old Herod being eaten by a worm. Yeah. But the word of God continued to increase and spread.
Yes.
Which was, that was the, on the table.
And remember, yeah, that was Herod's whole purpose, was to stop that.
That's right.
But he did not.
He stepped in the way of a spiritual train that was going to just leave him with just a...
Well, you wind up a pile of worms.
Oh, that's it.
So let me, you bring up an interesting point, and since we have our scholar here, Zach.
Who's the scholar?
Oh, I thought you were.
Yeah, you're not deceptively smart. You're just smart.
Propitiation.
I'm not a scholar, but
you have scholar tendencies.
I have scholar tendencies.
And it's not even deceptive.
Yeah. I dropped out of seminary, though. I just want to let you know that. So.
Well, you've got something somebody has said. I could be wrong, but I doubt it.
That's it. That's where I'm at. Could be wrong.
Phil's got a book out, everyone. Go buy it.
There's still a few signed copies.
Your daddy said that's a good one.
Yeah.
So Acts 12 in verse, Phil just read 24, but the word of God continued to increase and spread. Did you know, fun fact, 7 times in the next chapter that phrase is going to be used. The word
it's worthy of note.
7 times it's going to be mentioned in the next chapter. So I want to, now look, 7 times in one chapter and it's mentioned here.
Bottom line is, don't stand in the way of God when his word is beginning to spread.
Well, I thought we could, I thought we could define that. So what does that mean? Now it's, when we think of word of God, what is the first thing that pops in your head?
The Bible.
Right.
Now, y'all, that's the first thing that popped in your head. The first thing that pops into my head is John 1:1. I always think that.
Jesus, yeah.
I think in the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I realize this is a tricky thing to explain, so I thought we should bring it up.
No, but your thinking is right, because there was no Word of God other than the Old Testament prophecies that pointed to Jesus, and so
he has to be the center.
So you're right, Jace. It's much more the idea that it's Jesus, which is who the Word is about.
Yeah,
he's the logos, the expression of God. He's proceeding from the Father, and you think about.
Well, guess what the Greek word of that 12:24 is?
Logos.
You know what the 7 times in Acts 13, you know what it is?
I don't. In the Greek?
Yeah.
I don't.
Same thing.
Logos.
Yeah. They just don't have it capitalized.
Yeah.
But it's Jesus.
But go ahead and finish your thought. I'm just saying. The word is pointing to the word.
Yeah, because I think that's the thing. I actually love this, by the way. I love where we're going with this. I have said this verse on the podcast so many times that you guys are probably sick of hearing it. But when Jesus went to the Pharisees and he said to them, you study the scriptures, you study the word diligently.
John chapter 5.
You think by them you're saved. But you miss the logos. You actually miss the word. You miss me, the one they point to, and you refuse to come to have life. And so, man, you see this, the way this unpacks in our modern culture. We don't have really Pharisees like in the Old Testament anymore, but we do have sectarian people who will take the, the way you can identify them is that if they're talking about a system that they're trying to pull you into, you have to get this system of belief right in order to be right with God. If they're selling you a system,
you have to earn it.
You have to earn it. If they're selling you a system instead of pointing you to the person of Jesus, and you can hear it in their language. I mean, you can hear it because you can't hide Jesus. He is the accomplishment of all. That is Hebrews, by the way. That's it. She said, what's the book of Hebrews about? Jesus accomplished all of it. Priest,
which makes temple, him the greatest.
Sacrifice, yeah. All of it.
Which makes him the greatest. So back to this thought I brought up at the end of the last podcast, at the end of chapter 12, I brought up the movie Shawshank Redemption, which is actually has a lot of biblical tone to it. An innocent man is imprisoned, suffers difficulty, but then he's brought out and escapes, and we talk about this. And then his tormentors all face judgment, and hanging on the wall in the warden's office is a sign that says, "Judgment cometh, and that right soon." And then he winds up, you know, blowing his brains out. And so because of who he was, and I thought about that in the context of what we're talking about here, the word of God, Jesus, is pure and righteous and holy. And all these evil men keep trying to think that they can stamp it out and put a stop to it. And every time they do it, it's like taking a fire and putting wind into it. And it takes off across the landscape.
The next one they run into is that Elymas, and the Apostle Paul got to him. You're a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that's right. You're full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?
That's it.
So set us up to there, Al.
Let me set you up. Let's take a break. So if you enjoy everything that we do around here, I want to encourage you to head over to blazetv.com today and subscribe. You're going to get all their content, but you're going to get some other cool stuff as well. Use the promo code Robertson30, and you'll save $30 off when you do it. So right now is a great time to sign up. You go directly to blazetv.com/Robertson, and you're going to get the same deal. When you subscribe, you're going to get all the In the Woods archive shows that we did. If I'm not mistaken, Dad, that was 800 episodes of you giving your wisdom from the woods. All of our overtime archive content, we did that forever. Now we've got a new show called Cooking with the Robertsons. We just filmed one, I think, a week or two ago with Si joining us. A lot of fun, as you can imagine. A lot of good eats. Have a little tea contest in there. So a lot of cool stuff. I think you'll really love them. Also, we got Miss Kay's Easy 6 Ingredient Potato Recipe, Potato Salad Recipe. You got Jason Missy doing some crawfish au gratin that looked amazing, Jace. So it's fun for the whole family. I want you to check them out. You can sign up at blazetv.com. Use the promo code Robertson30. You're going to get $30 off your subscription. Or you can visit blazetv.com/Robertson for the same deal. Either way, sign up for Blaze TV Plus today. Not only get our great content, but the content of all of their fantastic hosts. And we shift now, Dad, and Luke is going to take us from everything we've been talking about Peter. This is the last time we're going to read about Peter in Acts, to now Barnabas and Saul, who now are in this place, Antioch, which, by the way, I think was the third largest Roman city.
I think it was the second.
Maybe one. Second, yeah.
Or maybe, yeah.
I think it seemed like it was after third, Rome and Alexandria. And then there was this Antioch.
And remember, that was the place that was known for commerce and immorality. We're talking this was the pagan of pagan places.
Right. But what's happening is, God is shifting now the real base of operation from Jerusalem, where it has been, to now Antioch, because now we're fixing to go into the Roman world.
And this modern day area, time frame in which we live, it's just a repeat of that.
It is. So what happens is, and here's the way the rest of the book of Acts plays out. So this is the beginning in Acts 13 of one of three missionary journeys that Saul, who will become Paul in this context, now takes on. And it starts out with he and Barnabas and a team of people, and they're going to make this first run through, and they're going to plant churches, and they're going to do the work of God. Then they're going to do it again in another journey, another third journey after that, and then eventually he's going to wind up in Rome at the end of the book. So this is the beginning place of this ministry. And the first thing he faces, as Dad brings out, when he goes to Cyprus, is this kind of like Peter did, you know, where Simon, you know,
Acts 8. Peter was Simon and the sorcerer.
A lot like our people.
Yeah.
Well, it makes you kind of, it sobers you to think that the fact that this is brought up twice in such a short period of time, and then again it happens in Acts 19.
Yep.
With the seven sons of Sceva.
Yep.
Don't underestimate the spiritual forces of evil that's going on it and going through this. I don't know what you want to call it. I was thinking magic, but it's how would you describe?
Well, I would say in our vernacular we would call it part of the occult. There's the idea that there are forces at work from the other side, and they come through in a lot of different ways. Another one, Jay, that happens to Paul is, remember the little girl, slave girl, who has this ability to predict the future.
Mm-hmm.
And he cast that out of her. Well, that got him whipped and beat up, and a riot started over that.
Yeah.
So every time he comes up against these things where there's this kind of, you know, a cultish thing. And look, a lot of these are Jewish people.
Same thing here today.
You're right. And we see it all over the place.
True.
This is to them a many, many, many out there.
Right. And we always immediately want to say it's fake, but that's not necessarily true. It's of the dark side for sure.
Do you want to read that?
Yeah. So first of all, let me say the church there in verse 1, they're in Antioch, and there's these men that are there, and they're prophets and they're teachers.
And they're diversified. Black and white.
In fact, yeah, one of them was a temple priest from Cyprus, Barnabas. Then there was Simeon. His nickname means black, so I'm assuming he was a man of color. Lucius was a proselyte from North Africa, also probably of color. So he was a Jew, but he was a Greek first. Then there was this guy named Manaen, and he was a Sadducee who grew up in an aristocratic setting, which was amazing.
Yeah, I read before that he was thought to be a foster child of Herod the Tetrarch.
Herod Antipas, that's right, exactly. So it's quite the diverse group. And then they set apart Saul, and they fast and they pray, and they lay hands on him. And not necessarily the miraculous laying of hands as we've looked in the past, but this idea of sending people out, which that's what the word apostle means, is the one who is sent. And so then the two of them, verse 4, are sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. They went down to Seleucia, and they sailed from there to Cyprus. So this is their first journey. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. This is going to be their pattern. This is what they always kind of start. And I think it's because they share a common ground with the Jews because of Yahweh, but they're here to share about Jesus. Here's John Mark, who's Barnabas' cousin. He was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet. So he's got sorcerer ability, but he's also false, named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul, Sergius Paulus was his name. So this guy worked for a local official.
Roman government.
Right, Roman government guy. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. There's your phrase, Jace. He wanted to hear about Jesus. So here's the setup. This guy, who's a man of influence, is curious. He's a seeker. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. So right off the bat, you see this opposition that's going to happen. It's going to happen over and over and over again. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, this is when he transitions to his Roman name, which, by the way, Saul was his Jewish name. Paul was his Roman name. So now we're seeing that he's shifting his emphasis.
I'm glad you clarified that, because we got a little pushback, people, when we talked about the name change.
Yeah.
He was Greek
always
name.
Paul. That was just his Roman name. And look,
the name didn't change.
Name didn't change.
So we may have misspoke on previous podcasts.
Well, we probably.
Which is why we say we could be wrong.
We could be wrong. But look, and people get hung up on something like that. But really, Saul was who he was. He was just emphasized as a Jewish guy before.
Well, I think I said that, but I meant his name change. If someone had never read the Bible and they miss this one verse, they're going to think, well, who is this Paul?
Yeah, who is he?
No, it's the Saul. You know, we didn't go into detail that he probably had two names. Yeah. But from the Bible, I don't think he's ever mentioned Saul again after this point.
He's not.
So,
but look,
we were looking after the people who were just arriving.
Right. And it's also easy to see why Luke would change the narrative, because this is his first missionary journey into the Gentile world. So he's going to much more focus on his Roman backing. Let's take our last break. So Saul, who is also called Paul, is filled with the Holy Spirit. He looked straight at Elymas and he said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right." Nothing like Paul to be subtle. "You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord?" And remember, this guy had a Jewish background, but I mean, Paul is holding nothing back. "Now the hand of the Lord is against you," and this is interesting for a man who was blinded and brought back to light.
"Yeah.
You are going to be blind, and for a time, you will be unable to see the light of the sun." So he struck this man with the very thing that he was struck with.
Yeah, he's going to just give him what he thinks he needs.
That's exactly right. And Paul experienced it. Immediately, yeah. Mist and darkness came over him, which is an interesting way of putting it. And he groped about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. So you can imagine this guy who is all puffed up and powerful as he worked for this powerful guy. "When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, and he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord."
Yeah.
So it had quite the effect on the boss man.
Every time I hear this story, I remember hearing a preacher one time tell a story about him and his wife were going and doing a seminar somewhere. And they had some hecklers, but it was so vile, he didn't go into the details, that when they were getting out of the vehicle and going in inside, that his wife, who he said is not confrontational usually, but he said it was just the filthiest, nastiest stuff coming out of these people's mouths with signs and. And I guess it was something, some political, it could have been pro-life or something. The passions were ratcheted up.
Yep.
And he said, "Here's my wife. She just stops and walks over to the most vile one and said, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I curse you.'" And he said, "I thought, what are you doing? You're going to get us killed." You know? And she just turned around and so it made me think of that verse in 1 Corinthians 16. There's an end to this story that's quite amazing. But when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and it says, it's like the last verse in 1 Corinthians 16. Oh, it's 22. "If anyone who does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, O Lord."
Yeah.
So I was thinking maybe that's where she got that from. But anyway, he said, so, you know, we went in and didn't have any problems after that. He said, a couple weeks later, he's at his local church, and they're like, you know, "There's a phone call for you." Well, this guy, same guy who the woman called down the curse, it's him on the phone. Which he thought what I would think. All right, my wife has declared war here. And what's
it's on now. Yeah.
And he said, but as the conversation started, this guy said, "Look, I want to apologize because whatever your wife did, the last 2 weeks have been the worst 2 weeks of my life."
Whoa.
Yeah. And look.
And you're still wondering.
Thank you for what it is. I heard it in a sermon. So, I mean, I'm just telling you what I told. But he said,
the preachers would embellish.
I feel like I need to hear more about what y'all are doing, you know?
So this guy was curious now because of the results of this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm only reporting. I could be wrong. That's the story, or he could be wrong. But
yeah.
I just thought, man, always think about that when I read that, because he brought this up in this, and he's like, there's just times in your life where you just have to say something. And the vehement passion that he has towards the power and work of God, and I don't blame him a bit.
No.
You know, they're just think about the opportunity they have here to share Jesus with a Roman governor, and you got this guy making it difficult. And I think in that moment, under the influence, God led him to say something.
Well, and I think Paul realized he should have been a guy, at least understanding from their both sharing a Jewish background, that we've got an opportunity here to make a difference in a guy's life. And I'll say this, as a guy who has spent my life trying to reach people and help people, the one thing that gets my dander up and gets me pretty hot, you know, righteous anger, is when I see someone blocking the faith and faith opportunities of someone else. That really bothers me too. And Jace, you and I have been apart through our early years, especially when we were full of vim and vigor to go and debate, which I'm not much of a debater as much anymore, but when I was young, I did a lot more. But usually it was over because someone was being blocked from a better way, and some person was getting in the way with some kind of crazy stuff that didn't matter a hill of beans.
I was in Jamaica in college. I was a very new Christian when I had a lot of vinegar. something in vinegar. That's the term I'd have probably.
I use the word vim as a nicer way.
I had a little bit of that in me. I had just come to Christ, but you guys remember because y'all were like very instrumental in myself and Jephthah coming to Christ, and then the countless Bible studies. I mean, I learned how to share the gospel by sitting in the living room, which is kind of, by the way, what this podcast is a memory of that. What I grew up with. And so we're in Jamaica on a mission trip. My first mission trip, we were in the middle of, it's called Morant Bay, I think was the name of it. It was not a touristy area. And we had like revival services, and this guy came to the revival service. He did hear the gospel, like 100% the gospel was preached. He heard it and he wanted to be baptized. And so the guy that was leading the mission group wouldn't baptize him. And so we were all kind of waiting after the service for the baptism to take place, and nothing happened. So then I'm like, hey, what's the deal? Why is this guy not, why is he not getting back? What's happened? And they said, well, he didn't want to come to this church. He wanted to stay at the church where the rest of his family went. I said, well, what's the issue? Well, they speak in tongues at that church. And, I said, I thought that we didn't believe that you could speak in tongues. And they said, well, we don't. I said, well, then how are they doing it? And the guy was so bad. But he would not baptize this guy because he was going to go to a church, back to a church that didn't have the right theology. And whether the theology on speaking in tongues was correct or incorrect, like, I'm like, this is a man who saw his sin. He saw his need for Jesus. He was broken and grasping for the grace of God, saying, God, save me. And we're like, oh, we're not going to participate.
Because we're not sure about where you're going to land.
Yeah. So he said, and the guy was like, are you telling me how to do my job? The preacher that was leading the trip. I was, of course, young and arrogant. I said, hey, I'll tell you this much. I'm not telling you how to do your job, but if somebody's eternal blood was on my hands, I'm not going to sell him short of the gospel. Now, of course, he didn't like that. But, you know, and
well, at least you didn't strike him with blindness.
No, I didn't strike it with blindness, but I mean, I do think that, like, I mean, it's true though. I mean, we get into these theological debates, and theology is important. But when someone comes to saving faith, like we gotta lead them to Jesus, and they don't have to get it right to come to Jesus. It's the opposite; they come to Jesus to get it right. I think we gotta remember that.
Yeah,
I think we always should err on the side of grace in those matters. But I will say this, when you are this bold, and I've been this bold many times, you do get persecuted. And I've just thought back on my life. I mean, I've been shot at. I have death threats. I've been physically assaulted. I've had my stuff vandalized, you know, just in the heat of the moment. And you have too, Phil. I wasn't calling someone a devil, and I was just sharing Jesus.
I still love them all.
Exactly. But I think that's what creates this attitude of persecution from people is when you take a stand. I mean, it's just going
to
happen.
So this led to the first convert here that we read about on this mission trip. And so we're going to fulfill that even more. Next time we get back into this text, we're going to talk about this first sermon. And there's some really interesting stuff. Jesus jumped ahead and alluded to a little bit of it. Also, hopefully next time we get together, one of our podcasts, we got Jep coming in, speaking of the old days, Zach, with a man with an amazing story from Ethiopia. So we got a lot of good stuff coming. We'll check it out next time on Unashamed.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube. And be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.